Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Lara Trump is going to be here a little bit later over the weekend making news by saying we're going to hunt them down. People that are cheating in elections and win, lose, or whatever. That should be job one after the elections. I think our listeners would be right there. Hunt them down. Every single, well, it's only one vote. I don't care if it's one vote. Every one of them, if it goes on for years, go after any irregularities to the fullest extent of the law. All right, let's bring in Harry Hurley here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Harry, thanks for the lend to the studio.
Oh, it's a pleasure, my friend. You always sound great. There's just maybe a little extra bounce because of this wonderful studio that you're in today. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I had one of your guys asked if he could shut the door, and I said, I know I'm loud, so certainly yes. You know, it's not hushed tones.
You're a loud person, though.
Across the hall.
Dom, we love having you there.
Well, thank you. There's so many offices here, Dan. It's like the White House. You go around the corner, and there's a dozen more offices. So big stuff happening here. And was talking to one of your sales guys that our battery-plus bulbs, Roy, might be working with you. So I told him about Roy, how much we love him and what he does. But, Harry, you are one of the closest people to President Trump in a better way than maybe when he was in the White House, because you saw more the vintage Trump on his way up. So give me a sense right now at this point in time. What are you saying on your show about the VP search, for example, with Trump?
Wow, it's critical. Usually VP means nothing, but it means a lot this time because Kamala Harris is obviously terrible. I think it's incumbent upon Trump to pick someone, obviously, that's qualified to be president. Of course, he would do that. He did that with Pence. Think about it. Governor, congressman. You know, he checked all the boxes. Experience in government, where Trump admitted, you know, that he's a business person. So that was a good yin and yang back in 2016 and in the 2020 reelection effort. Trump is going to do the right thing here. I believe he has tipped his hand enough as to say that the person that will be his VP was in the room the other day when he took Washington by storm. So I think he's tipping that he's going to pick someone that's in office right now. Marco Rubio's stock, people would think, oh, little Marco and all these things. What they have to understand about Trump is when you have a difficulty with someone and it's over with him. He's very good like that. So I think the VP slot is important, not because Trump isn't going to survive. You know, people are worried about Biden, that he can't make it for 4 years. Trump's vitality, I defy anyone, unless they're lying, which some people do, that wouldn't say his vitality is every bit as it was back in 2016. I watched him, 105 the other day in Texas? I mean, he's got the stamina. It's not about picking a VP because he might not make it.
Right.
It's about picking the right VP. And I'll tell you what, you want to pick somebody that can maybe help you deliver Michigan and maybe another state that you otherwise might not typically win. So he's going to do the right thing.
To that point, he's going to pick somebody that's going to help him win, and he doesn't have to pick anybody flashy. Pence is an example. Harry,
exactly.
I don't know why we're not talking about Glenn Youngkin more for two reasons. If the polling is right, and I'd have to see multiple if I were Trump, and Virginia is that tight, I believe Glenn Youngkin would win Virginia, A, and I think Youngkin plays very well to suburban voters. He's disarming. Remember what he did with McAuliffe, and certainly he strikes me as a guy who could govern. Why not
Without
someone like that?
Well, that's smart, Dom. And also, too, Glenn Youngkin is term limited. For those who don't know, in the Commonwealth of Virginia,
right,
the governor can only serve one term in a row. He can come back. That's why they,
right,
Allen and all the other ones flip it all over the place over the years. I love that idea. I believe it is 48% to 48% right now. You throw Youngkin on the ticket, that ticket automatically, I think, would take at least a 3-point lead. So I think that's really smart. Like John Kennedy picked Lyndon Johnson because he needed Texas and probably wouldn't have gotten Texas without Johnson. You know, why not pick? Like, if you pick Rubio, he's already going to win Florida.
Right.
They are saying that there is a senator, and you know him, in South Carolina, that can help him win. What am I saying? J.D.
Scott.
Vance, not South Carolina, Ohio.
J.D. Vance.
They think that J.D. Vance has legs in two other states, because Trump is already going to win Ohio. If you do the Dom Giordano doctrine and you pick Youngkin, you get a CEO, you get a chief executive officer that showed that he can win in what had turned. That wasn't a swing state when Youngkin won it. That was a dark blue state.
Exactly.
That Republicans had not been able to win. I like that idea. I like it a lot. Well, I don't even think he's on the list, though. I don't think he's being vetted.
No.
I don't think he's in there.
But I think, Harry, the mind of Trump that we always talk with you about, you know better. It's from afar, it seems to me, this is the best of Trump. He's not going to hold the grudge as I would. I'll admit it. But he'll let that go, and he's going to pick somebody that's going to be the opposite of him, more likely, you know, not flashy, that reaches out to a particular group. That's why I thought suburbanites, by all accounts, I mean, he's breaking through with African-American Latino voters. Even if the polling is off a bit, it is still historic. Harry,
we've
been talking a lot about the Jersey Shore. You broke a story about a shooting in Atlantic City last night. What are all your sources, and people say Ocean City, Atlantic City, Wildwood? What is going on here?
It's not good, Dom. More violent than ever, and it just seems like people are waiting for the next bad thing to happen. You know, and it always seems to happen at the big holidays. You saw what was happening back on Memorial Day weekend, Wildwood, which I know you love, and they love you, Ocean City, Atlantic City. It's been a very bad year for violence in Atlantic City.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, Harry, it astounds me. Down here at the Jersey Shore on Thursday, you're hosting a golf tournament, even though you're a ceremonial golfer, I would call it.
Thank you.
That's what they called it, the Masters.
Wow,
Dan,
trash talk, Dom.
That's
an official title.
The guy's letting you use a studio, and you throw this
out. He told me he is a ceremonial golfer, Dan.
Yes.
All right. But here's the thing.
News. I have a built-in excuse. We purposely tee off at 9 o'clock, and I still have an hour of my show. So I would love to join you. It would be my joy and my pleasure, but I've got a job to do. So you have a good time. I'll keep the fort down here mended. So I've never played. It's our 17th annual Charity Golf Open. And between the Charity Golf Open that we do on the third Thursday, first 15 years it was Friday, last 2 years, third Thursday in June, that and our early October dinner, which Dom has been a guest of honor and keynote speaker at, we have raised over $1.5 million. For great charities all over the
stunning.
Delaware Valley.
That is stunning. By the way, Dan, it's the only time I thought the accommodations were nicer than you would expect. If you're the guest speaker, I had a sitting room because former presidents stayed in the suite that we had. Roe thought the bathroom was too nice. She used the smaller bathroom. She couldn't bring herself to use the big bathroom.
She would have used the more.
Yeah, you were in the very special President Harrison suite.
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay.
Earned.
well, thank you, Harry. So, again, I think it's 124 golfers. That's remarkable, and the money you've raised. And, by the way, I'm looking at your Talkers Hall of Fame here of your 10 times in the heavy 100, number 25 now from Atlantic City. That is tremendous.
Well, right now, for the listeners of the Dom Show, 2%. Of the heavy 100 are on this interview.
There you go. Now, if we had the heavy 100 producers, Dan Borowski certainly would lap the field. Yes.
There's no question.
No question. Harry, thank you, and thanks for the hospitality.
I do have audio of Dom when he first sat down in Harry's studio this morning.
You know? Okay. King in the castle. I have a chair.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dan, for that.
He's in beautiful surroundings.
He is.
He's well provided for.
All right, we ought to have a heck of a show
today.
Harry, thank you. Thanks very much. See you tomorrow.
Good to be with you. See ya. Bye-bye.
All right, that's Harry Hurley, Inside the Mind of Trump. Now, Inside the Mind of Laura Trump, Dan, this is Cut 7. Laura Trump's here at 1:30 today. She's coming to town, is it tonight, tomorrow night? Well, we'll get to it. Wrangling volunteers, and they want 100 lawyers. They'll be here at 1:30, made a lot of news over the weekend. Here's what she said. Those of you, and look, if you're not stirred by what's happening on the mail-in ballot front and also the election integrity front, then you just want to give up and lose. We're on it. They're on it. The other side is not easy, though, when it comes to shenanigans. So are you going to give up or are you going to up your game? Those are the two choices. Here's Laura Trump saying we're going to hunt you down.
Also sending a loud and clear message out there to anyone who thinks about cheating in an election. If you cheat in an election, we will find you, we will track you down, and we will prosecute you to the full extent of the law.
All right. So somehow or another, Democrats on the other side saying that's exactly what people should not be hearing because it calls into question the sanctity of elections, etc. And our buddy Scott Presler, I think, was there at the same event in Detroit. He'll be with us tomorrow. One more time to remind you. He's coming to the great Summer White House, Woo! Mulligan's Shore Bar and Grill this Friday. A lot of folks coming up today. You don't want to miss Horn and Harnets. I don't think I'll let Dan ask the guy any questions. Don't want to spoil a good thing.
Keep me away from the microphone on this one.
I think it's coming back. Rose said she might text in. I'm not sure about ever calling him what it would take to rebut Dan on that.
How does he plan to get around salmonella should be a question.
Okay. But here is a little bit of Trump. And again, this is a winner, this issue, a big winner. Whether it ever gets done or not, Ted Cruz, I believe, is introducing tomorrow a law that would remove the federal government from going after people who, at least the money they make through tips. And rather than all that, keeping track of it, all that, this is a winner in more than just Nevada. Could be right here. What's the Democrat counter on that? How would Joe Biden counter? Hey, he's a billionaire, I tells you. All right, here's what Trump said at this situation at the 180 Church in Detroit.
And the other thing, tell your waiters and waitresses and anybody else getting tips, because there are a lot of people get tips, car attendants and caddies and a lot of different people
caddies.
Get tips. We are
you
not going to
caddy?
Tax... tips.
I don't have a caddy.
Immediately.
Oh, come on.
Is coming off. As you know, the government under Biden just passed new regulations to really go after these people, and they're at a level like nobody's ever seen. It's like jail time stuff.
Absolutely.
To go after your waiters and your waitresses and other people getting tips.
All right, and here is the pastor making a point. Sure, President Obama would come to Detroit to do a big
and
double. Go ahead.
Before you go, I mean, you said during that clip that you don't use a caddy?
No, I don't use a caddy.
Really? You carry your clubs the entire course?
No, you have a golf cart and or you sometimes have a cart that you pull or
Isn't
you push.
That, I thought they're like kids, like teenagers during the summer worked as caddies and you can just like hire them part-time to follow you around with your clubs.
Not at most clubs now. If you want a caddy, they're experienced people.
Really?
They would be probably...
Are they like getting down on one knee and telling you where to putt?
Yeah, well, I don't trust the caddy, so, I mean, I do it myself.
You ever
so
got into an argument with the caddy?
No, I just don't follow their advice all the time. It might be $200 to $300 for a good caddy.
Sorry, back to regular programming.
Yeah, back to regular programming. Caddy Shack is brought to you by... All right, here is the Detroit pastor now that invited President Trump there saying Obama, yeah, he would go to an NAACP dinner, but he's not coming to the hood.
President Trump, I'm so humbled that you would be here. President Obama never came to the hood, so to speak, right? President Joe Biden, he went to the big NAACP dinner, but he never came to the hood. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Very humble.
Really nice. Thank you. My honor.
All right, so a simple thing like that, that reverberates. It's not just about Detroit. It's not just about Michigan. This is something that gets under their skin nationally. So Trump went to, in the morning, I guess it was, an African-American events panel church, And then in the afternoon, he was at one of the more conservative groups in the entire Republican Party or conservative groups in America. And Scott Presler also spoke there. And Presler, I listened to it over the weekend, had quite an audience going. I'm checking about what he said to do with President Biden to see if there's any double entendre or anything there. I'm not sure. But who else would be able to get rousing ovations than a guy that could break through? And he's coming to Philadelphia, Leocoris Center. I don't know, the capacity of the Leocoris Center is probably 10,000, I think. I don't know if it's more than that. I thought I'd ask today, are you headed to that event, the latest on the Trump tour, the Leocoris Center, this coming Saturday at 7 p.m.? I'm sure the local Republican Party, there's a number of African-American groups. I bet you they have a couple thousand protests or so. Philadelphia is not going to let this go easily because it drives them nuts. Trump can't come here. Is the Inquirer going to say, well, we looked at the demographics, and, you know, the area in the Leocoris Center is not really African-American. Well, let's take out the Temple white students. Okay, let's just take them out here. What number are whites in the area around Leocoris Center? No, I don't think the Inquirer is going to be able to say that. So they're going to have to deal with the fact that a Republican president, President Trump, coming to the heart of North Philly on Temple's campus, a campus where there has been a lot of difficulty. How are they going to bill that? A cynical move. Is that what it's going to be? And it's going to be interesting to see, and we'll keep you abreast of the African-American leaders that are going to be there with Trump. I'm not sure, I haven't heard people yet talk about that, but it's an interesting rally site. That's a pretty big arena to fill there in North Philly. And again, it's where Temple plays basketball, specially built. It's got a nice, according to, Dan says, according to the 2010 census, 49.8% black, 35.3% Hispanic or Latino, 10.1% white. All right. I wonder what the 2020 census. It might even be more. It just strikes me.
That's the entirety of North Philly, Dom. So that's 132, yes. 133, 121, right. 122, 130, and 123.
Okay. Around there, I mean, principally, the only whites you'll see are the Temple students, basically. So we're dealing in the 90 percentile or more of black or Hispanic. Now, Biden didn't choose to go there. He didn't go to a public school. He went to Girard College at the behest of city council wiring all that. And he drew maybe, what, other than the kids that were forced to go there, 40 or 50 people? If Trump can fill up the Leocoris Center, I got to tell you, that's asking a lot. Are you going? I don't have a sense yet of listeners how many might go to the Leocoris Center. But he's done it in the South Bronx. This, though, you know, is indoor. It's not just you have a crowd in front of you outdoor. This is an interesting challenge. All right, let's go to Mark first in. He's in Glen Mills on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mark, welcome in.
Yeah, I'm just calling about the election.
Yes.
And your comments to mail-in voting and, you know, this, that, and the other, Trump doing this, doing that. I really wish it were true, but after living through 2020 and the way it seems as if both parties were complicit in cheating and silencing evidence that was overwhelming in seven or eight counties throughout the country that really swayed the election, I'm very, very distrustful of what I call the uniparty. Democrats and Republicans who really are not
Tell me
voter
this,
integrity.
Well, with this uniparty, who do they want to be president then?
Well, it seems as if they sure don't want Trump.
Okay, well, there you go. There you go. I mean, look, you know, if you want to be in your mom's basement telling me about uniparties on this and all, go right ahead. Continue to do that. I want people to feel a degree of confidence different than the last time. I mean, the last time, we didn't even know about Zuckerbucks. Well, we knew about it, but we didn't know exactly the mechanism. Remember I told you weeks before, months before, about this $411? It was coming through some group in Chicago, how it was approaching here. We didn't have any read on that about how to stop it or what to do in advance of it. So this breakthrough by President Trump is incredible. Are we reaching an inflection point with African-American Latino voters? Star Parker, for years, has been the preeminent person to go to when you're talking about issues of African-Americans moving forward, moving away from just progressives. Star is the president of the Center for Urban Renewal and Education, which he founded in 1995, and she served on every prestigious group looking at this. Got a new book out that she wrote the introduction to, The State of Black Progress. Here's the key: Confronting Government and Judicial Obstacles, sponsored by the Center for Urban Renewal and Education. She does the introduction, which is the must-read, in addition to people like Stephen Moore, Sally Pipes, people that you've heard of over the years. Let's bring back to Philadelphia, to the Dom Giordano Show, Star Parker. Hey, Star, welcome to Philadelphia again. Thanks for joining us.
I love Philly. And yes, we're taking over Pennsylvania as well. We're going to move all of the country toward freedom. And yes, our tome is out, and we have some stellar people involved in it, not just Steve Moore and Sally Pipes, as you mentioned, but Janice Rogers Brown and Dr. Bill Allen. So
absolutely.
The list is pretty long, but thank you. It's good to be back with you.
So, Star, the State of Black Progress, Bill Maher the other night had on a guest. And the guest, I think it was Charlemagne the God, the Great, talking about black progress and Trump Biden. And the guest told him it's five times harder for an African-American to make it versus a white person. This coming off Biden saying 10 times harder. And Bill Maher dismissed that pretty readily. So if Maher's right, what are the obstacles still en masse for African-Americans in America? What does your book say? What are the things that are still out there?
Well, what we look at specifically in this particular tome are policy decisions that were made coming out of the 60s that went the wrong direction from what the founding of the country was about, and look to build out more government in our most vulnerable communities. So what we have now is an addiction problem, big government addiction problem within the African-American community. And so there's a weaning going on. And that's where we are today. So when an African-American says, well, it's 10 times still harder for me, and or it's five times more harder for me, the data proves that out, that this is the perception in the community. And most of it's perception because of the lies of the left. They have continued over the last 6 years to tell black people that the country stacked against them. And so it's metastasized. Folks are believing it still. But all of that said, on your point about what's happening with this Trump phenomenon and moving away from Biden, is that this younger African-American community, particularly the male community, has seen the difference in the legislative policies. They've had money in their pocket under Trump because of his tax initiatives to remove the barriers of excessive taxation and regulation over our businesses. So business started flourishing. Business then started hiring. And even the weakest link started feeling that new interest in money and in what money can do for your life. Education policies started changing under Republican leadership to allow more flexibility for parents to take their children to any school they want to, so that access to education started to grow. Then after those 4 years, we end up with a Biden administration that's taking all of that away, taking away the freedom. So you now see the inflation and the economy instability, which means that businesses aren't hiring at the level that we had during the Trump administration. We're also seeing more energy placed on international challenges because of the failed policies of the Biden administration when it comes to the border. So this is where that younger African-American who said, you know, while I agree that life was tough for grandma and great-grandma during the civil rights era, it's not my life. I'm in the great middle class. You know, it's underappreciated how well America has worked for black people. You have 75% of the community that are either in the middle class or above. We have 25% that are still stuck in that poverty and stuck in those 8,700 broken zip codes. But that's all related to Democrat policies that continues those challenges. And so that's what we look at in the tome. We look specifically about what are these government challenges when it comes to health policy, education policy, housing policy, and regular economic policy, meaning also reform of Social Security.
Star, I wish you were. I'm a former teacher, and you and I have talked about this. I've had you on a bunch of times, that school mm-hmm. choice would be a bit of a game changer, but it really has not. It's in Pennsylvania. It's a huge issue again. Is that not something effective? What is the game changer again, other than, I guess we have a former president you can compare versus Biden? I would say Trump's style, because Republicans have said a lot of the same things. But he has broken through as a person, and maybe people are listening to the policies that you're talking about in your book.
Well, what he's done is he's thrown raw truth into the dynamic. Mm-hmm. And it stings, but in terms of the African-American community, it's brutally honest, and this is something that has always been appreciated throughout Black culture, and that's why you see a whole lot of even the rappers saying, whoa, okay, dude, tell us more, and you mentioned Charmaine. So this is the reality, but on your question of school choice, it has been a battle. We just got the Supreme Court decisions that opened the country, and now meaning individual states, to be able to see if we can maximize this opportunity. Education is a local issue. It's not a national issue, even though we have a Department of Education that is really outside of the founding principles of the country. It should not be a one-size-fits-all government.
But by the way, Star, when you say that saddens me a bit, because you're on my short list of three people I would put in charge of the Department of Education to reform it and then blow it up at the end of your tenure.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. So yeah, exactly. You know that. And so I don't know that I can be confirmed. But if we take the Senate in a good way, maybe I might consider coming back to Washington to do that particular job. But you're right. And so what's happened in educational choice, so we did finally end up with the main decision that opened the door for all states now to have this discussion, should money follow children to schools parents want. But to your point, the reason that we haven't seen the success, even where we have models across the country, the success that we really want, two things happened. One, when it started taking hold and we started really having serious discussions about vouchers and money following children to schools parents want, you had a movement for charter schools, which are really just government schools with a lot less a little bit more flexibility. But number two, you're talking about educating children that are coming from a very broken environment, morally bankrupt, broken home. So they're bringing other issues to the table when it comes to trying to educate children. Remember, when you talk about a civil society and how people are personally responsible for the decisions they make, there are what some people call 5 P's involved in the process of making life easier for everybody. Well, the first P is your parents. And if you don't have parents with an S, where husbands are married to mother of children raising them, then you're already going to have a bigger challenge as they go into that next P, which is that principal, to go into the school environment. The pastor is another P that is missing now from the equation. When you mix pastors and parents, you end up with children more focused on behavioral decisions, and making sure mm-hmm. that they're disciplined in other places. Then, of course, you move to the next P, the politicians, and then, of course, the final P, the police, which also includes the prison. So these are factors that are interrelated, and so we cannot put it all on the teacher, as you know yourself from your personal experiences, because if a teacher walks into a classroom with a whole bunch of kids who don't even know the basic principles of behavior, nor the basic principles of putting a sentence together, then that teacher has a whole lot more difficulty standing in front of her, and especially if she has also a union, he or she has a union who tied her hands to actually get involved in the individual student's life. So this is, it's bigger than them saying, school choice doesn't work. No, it's a combination of all of these places that we have allowed for ourselves to fall apart, and the institutions and basic structures according to our founding principles, and so we have to put them all together again, but they all have to be put together simultaneously.
Star Parker with a star in this book, in addition to your introduction, give me one more of these all-stars that you have and what their point is in your book.
Well, Dr. Allen begins in assessing the government role and where we started looking at the changing of the rules from what was expected of all that who wanted to call themselves American. And those changes of the rules involved things like, the disconnect from what the North was trying to do in, rebuilding the South, if you will, after the Civil War. We had a rebirth and we had a reconstruction movement that, demagogues and politicals got involved and started dismantling that. The next thing we know, we saw Jim Crow law grow, which is also government. And so it set us in a big dilemma to where you start seeing government getting engaged in places it shouldn't be. We just mentioned education. Government then got involved in retirement. Government then got involved in housing policy. Government, more government. And the more you depend on government, it weakens not just personal responsibility, but it weakens the environment for people that are responsible. And so conflict entered in. By the end of the 60s, we were engulfed in all types of challenge, mostly because Dr. King's movement of desegregation morphed into forced integration. And within 4 or 5 years, we had Roe v. Wade as national law, killing off the offspring, and particularly in the black community. We then started seeing government programming and affirmative action that turned into DEI, that's now LGBT. It's just unbelievable what government intervention has done to our society. So in order to solve these problems, we have to remove certain barriers. So others that contributed to the tome look at, for instance, healthcare policy. So that's where you're going to see Grace Marie Turner spoke into that and, talks about some of the problems that we have in our health is, and Sally Pipes weighed in. We have housing. We have two experts on housing talking about where we went wrong. Dr. Husok did an incredible book called The Poor Side of Town and Why We Need It, and looked at, not in this particular essay, but also that's his book, and what happened when the government decided that that people shouldn't live poor in their own homes, that we're going to build housing projects and send the husbands away, kind of scenario, if you will. And so over time, it morphed into where now government thinks that it can come into very local communities and change all of their zoning when it comes to housing and control the entire industry. And
exactly.
So we have, Steve Moore, of course, we want personal retirement accounts. If you own Wall Street, you're not going to burn down Wall Street. So what you want to do is make sure that people own their retirement and that they have an investment and a stake in the country. And so,
exactly.
And then, of course, on what was the other education policy? Of course, we have Heiner and Ian Rowe. Ian Rowe does an incredible job out of AI on what we should be thinking about when it comes to our education policy.
Well, Star, it's always a pleasure to have you, and I hope we hear more as this campaign continues. The State of Black Progress, Confronting Government and Judicial Obstacles. Thanks, Star Parker, very much.
You are so welcome, and I look forward to coming back on again because we're in an election year, and Pennsylvania is important, including Philadelphia.
Thank you, Star. Star Parker here on Talk Radio 1210. Your calls over the years, she has just been, boy, it's about 30 years. Stunning as a young woman and moving for, yeah, why not, Education Department? All right, phone lines, 855-839-1210. You get in today. Mascot, that all-time mascot, food mascots, any kind of mascot you want. Hit us with that and your reaction on Talk Radio 1210. Republicans have been saying a lot of these things that Trump says. The secret sauce, though, is Trump is the breakthrough to get attention. And then the policies flow with that, although Trump talking about this no tax on tips has really broken through. It could be the type of thing that moves a half a percentage point. As you know by now, it's incremental. That's all that it is. By the way, Dan, check with you the persistence. Scott Presler, I haven't seen the count in Bucks County today. I want to know if we moved another 100 forward on the great day when Bucks County goes red. You know, I don't know if there's somebody over there, Dan, but let us put, what's the number?
Last week it was 924. Mid-April it was 1589. Dom, an hour ago he posted 720 votes away from flipping.
Wow. So, you know what? If this goes this way, Dan... Well, not by mulligans. Well, the next mulligans. July 3rd is the next mulligans, by the way. Put that on your calendar. Then the last, August 28th. Unless popular demand, who knows? 720, that's 204. So at this rate, Dan, or anything like this rate, we probably are going to see Bucks County red by, I don't know about July, maybe by July 4th.
Wow.
Maybe. Certainly, by the end of July, Bucks County is going to be red. Dan, I've already been thinking ahead. Do we know anybody? I don't know. This is a big ask. Ben Salem, Mayor Joe, can we go over there and dye just a puddle? I'll dye red just to show that Bucks County is now red. I don't want to violate any environmental laws.
Pond somewhere, right?
Yeah, there's got to be a pond in the back or a swimming pool. Somebody in a little red dye.
Town of town, like my neighborhood, we have a couple retention ponds.
There you go.
I mean, we do it over in Deptford. It doesn't make much sense, but so
no, we do it in Bucks, and I'm sure Scott Prezer will come there. He might dye his hair red.
I'm sure the homeowner.
You know, it'll be an all red. It'll be a red out. Start thinking about what do we do? Fertile minds, thousands of fertile minds. Send me an email or on Twitter. What do we do when Bucks County turns red? You know the significance of it. Again, it's a breakthrough in the suburbs to say, no, they just don't have Philadelphia in the entire suburbs. They don't have it. It'll be a shock. Why is this happening in Bucks County? Presler is the secret sauce, but there's a ton of reasons.
Hey, Dom.
Yes.
Can I ask you a quick question? Because this is a fantastic question from Betsy. I'm wondering, I'm sure a lot of listeners are wondering this. She goes, I live over in South Jersey with the rally Saturday night at Leah Corey Center. You often talk about the safety on Temple's campus. Is it safe for me to come from South Jersey to the Leah Corey Center?
Okay. And I would say inside the bubble, they're doing a good job. But we did an event there with Maria Bartiromo and David L. Cohen, Dan.
How'd that go?
And the problem was that was pre-Larry Krasner.
Gotcha.
So I think, let's put it this way.
I got
will.
A tip.
Yes.
No, go ahead. You first.
I think the key thing is, and we'll help you with this tomorrow's show. I'm writing myself a note. Even when we're down the shore, somebody will help with this. We got to get the parking lot that's closest for people. If you do that and you get out on Broad Street and you walk to it, and then walk back to your car, there'll be a ton of security. If you're parking in the neighborhood, I can't be on record then saying I think that's a good idea.
So we went to AEW during WrestleMania weekend, and we weren't smart enough, but if you pre-order, there is a Leah Corey's parking garage, and it fills up fast, but you can get tickets, pre-order parking tickets using certain apps and such. So do some research, look up Leah Corey's centers. On their website, they actually tell you how to do it, and you can get parking, prepay for some parking, and just park right there at the Leah Corey Center. Not even have to walk the streets.
That's a great idea. So we'll keep that one in mind. We'll say it again tomorrow. I don't want to be a wet blanket and say don't go, but that's the best solution, that you park there, get your parking spot. Leslie Fishapine, Dan, is probably
the queen of it.
Right
now. Queen of parking
spots. Queen of that in Wildwood. If you get your parking spot there, Dan, I bet it's within a block. There will be massive security there. You just go into the event, keep your head about you.
I would also say the way that Trump draws, it's going to be a bunch of Trump people on the streets. And
I'm not advising on the streets, though.
No, really? I'd park four blocks away and walk.
Well, I would, too, but I know.
The problem is walking
back
after, though.
Right. Somebody that's coming from South Jersey, Dan, and is apprehensive. I can't put myself in their shoes. You know.
I don't know how. Yeah.
Certain places I park and I go, oh, man, am I really going to do this? I can't. Yeah. Get the parking now. Get the parking. There's a whole bunch of lots right on Broad Street. Get the parking right now. All right, coming up, Dan goes to the woodshed. Big-time entrepreneur bringing back Horn and Hardicks. Can hardly wait. Can you say salmonella? Is that what you said, Dan? All right, that's straight ahead. And get in on the side question here. Big show today on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
And, regular economic policy, meaning also reform of Social Security.
Star, I wish you were. I'm a former teacher, and you and I have talked about this. I've had you on a bunch of times. That school choice would be a bit of a game changer, but it really has not. It's in Pennsylvania. It's a huge issue again. Is that not something effective? What is the game changer, again, other than, I guess we have a former president you can compare versus Biden? I would say Trump's style, because Republicans have said a lot of the same things, but he has broken through as a person And maybe people are listening to the policies that you're talking about in your book.
Well, what he's done is he's thrown raw truth into the dynamic. Mm-hmm. And it stings, but in terms of the African-American community, it's brutally honest, and this is something that has always been appreciated throughout black culture, and that's why you see a whole lot of even the rappers saying, whoa, okay, dude, tell us more, and you mentioned Charmaine. So this is the reality, but on your question of school choice, it has been a battle. We just got the Supreme Court decisions that opened the country, and now meaning individual states, to be able to see if we can maximize this opportunity. Education is a local issue. It's not a national issue, even though we have a Department of Education that is really outside of the founding principles of the country. It should not be a one-size-fits-all government.
But by the way, Star, when you say that saddens me a bit, because you're on my short list of three people I would put in charge of the Department of Education to reform it and then blow it up at the end of your tenure.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. So you know that. And so I don't know that I can be confirmed. But if we take the Senate in a good way, maybe I might consider coming back to Washington to do that particular job. But you're right. And so what's happened in educational choice, so we did finally end up with the main decision that opened the door for all states now to have this discussion, should money follow children to schools parents want. But to your point, the reason that we haven't seen the success, even where we have models across the country, the success that we really want, two things happened. One, when it started taking hold and we started really having serious discussions about vouchers and money following children to schools parents want, you had a movement for charter schools, which are really just government schools with a lot less, little bit more flexibility. But number two, you're talking about educating children that are coming from a very broken environment, morally bankrupt, broken home. So they're bringing other issues to the table when it comes to trying to educate children. Remember, when you talk about a civil society and how people are personally responsible for the decisions they make, there are what some people call 5 P's involved in the process of making life easier for everybody. Well, the first P is your parents. And if you don't have parents with an S, where husbands are married to mother of children raising them, then you're already going to have a bigger challenge as they go into that next P, which is that principal, you know, to go into the school environment. The pastor is another P that is missing now from the equation. When you mix pastors and parents, you end up with children more focused on behavioral decisions, you know, and making sure mm-hmm. that they're disciplined in other places. Then, of course, you move to the next P, the politicians, and then, of course, the final P, the police, which also includes the prisons. So these are factors that are interrelated, and so we cannot put it all on the teacher, as you know yourself from your personal experiences, because if a teacher walks into a classroom with a whole bunch of kids who don't even know the basic principles of behavior, nor the basic principles of putting a sentence together, then that teacher has a whole lot more difficulty standing in front of her, and especially if she has also a union, he or she has a union who tied her hands to actually get involved in the individual student's life. So this is, you know, it's bigger than them saying, well, you know, school choice doesn't work. No, it's a combination of all of these places that we have allowed for ourselves to fall apart, and the institutions and basic structures according to our founding principles, and so we have to put them all together again, but they all have to be put together simultaneously.
Star Parker with a star in this book, in addition to your introduction, give me one more of these all-stars that you have and what their point is in your book.
Well, Dr. Allen begins in assessing the government role and where we started looking at the changing of the rules from what was expected of all that who wanted to call themselves American. And those changes of the rules involved things like, the disconnect from what the North was trying to do in, rebuilding the South, if you will, after the Civil War. We had a rebirth and we had a reconstruction movement that, you know, demagogues and politicals got involved and started dismantling that. The next thing we know, we saw Jim Crow law grow, which is also government. And so it set us in a big dilemma to where you start seeing government getting engaged in places it shouldn't be. We just mentioned education. Government then got involved in retirement. Government then got involved in housing policy. Government, more government. And the more you depend on government, it weakens not just personal responsibility, but it weakens the environment for people that are responsible. And so conflict entered in. By the end of the 60s, we were engulfed in all types of challenge, mostly because Dr. King's movement of desegregation morphed into forced integration. And within 4 or 5 years, we had Roe v. Wade as national law, killing off the offspring, and particularly in the black community. We then started seeing government programming and affirmative action that turned into DEI, that's now LGBT. It's just unbelievable what government has intervention has done to our society. So in order to solve these problems, we have to remove certain barriers. So others that contributed to the tome look at, for instance, healthcare policy. So that's where you're going to see Grace Marie Turner spoke into that and, you know, talks about some of the problems that we have in our health is, and Sally Pipes weighed in. We have housing. We have two experts on housing talking about where we went wrong. Dr. Husok did an incredible book called The Poor Side of Town and Why We Need It, and looked at, not in this particular essay, but also that's his book, and what happened when the government decided that that people shouldn't live poor in their own homes, that we're going to build housing projects and send the husbands away, kind of scenario, if you will. And so over time, it morphed into where now government thinks that it can come into very local communities and change all of their zoning when it comes to housing and control the entire industry. And
exactly.
So we have, you know, Steve Moore, of course, we want personal retirement accounts. If you own Wall Street, you're not going to burn down Wall Street. So what you want to do is make sure that people own their retirement and that they have an investment and a stake in the country. And so,
exactly.
And then, of course, on what was the other education policy? Of course, we have Heiner and Ian Rowe. Ian Rowe does an incredible job out of AI on what we should be thinking about when it comes to our education policy.
Well, Star, it's always a pleasure to have you, and I hope we hear more as this campaign continues. The State of Black Progress, Confronting Government and Judicial Obstacles. Thanks, Star Parker, very much.
You are so welcome, and I look forward to coming back on again because we're in an election year, and Pennsylvania is important, including Philadelphia.
Thank you, Star. Star Parker here on Talk Radio 1210. Your calls over the years, she has just been, boy, it's about 30 years. Stunning as a young woman and moving for, yeah, why not, education department? All right, phone lines, 855-839-1210. You get in today. Mascot, that all-time mascot, food mascots, any kind of mascot you want. Hit us with that and your reaction on Talk Radio 1210. Republicans have been saying a lot of these things that Trump says. The secret sauce, though, is Trump as the breakthrough to get attention. And then the policies flow with that. Although Trump talking about this no tax on tips has really broken through. It could be the type of thing that moves a half a percentage point. As you know by now, it's incremental. That's all that it is. By the way, Dan, check with you the persistence. Scott Presler, I haven't seen the count in Bucks County today. I want to know if we moved another 100 forward on the great day when Bucks County goes red. You know, I don't know if there's somebody over there, Dan, but let us put, what's the number?
Last week it was 924. Mid-April it was 1589. Dom, an hour ago he posted 720 votes away from flipping.
Wow. So, you know what? If this goes this way, Dan... Well, not by mulligans. Well, the next mulligans. July 3rd is the next mulligans, by the way. Put that on your calendar. Then the last, August 28th. Unless popular demand, who knows? 720, that's 204. So at this rate, Dan, or anything like this rate, we probably are going to see Bucks County red by, I don't know about July, maybe by July 4th.
Wow.
Maybe. Ooh. Certainly, by the end of July, Bucks County is going to be red. Dan, I've already been thinking ahead. Do we know anybody? I don't know. Ben, this is a big ask. Ben Salem, Mayor Joe, can we go over there and dye just a puddle? I'll dye red just to show that Bucks County is now red. I don't want to violate any environmental laws.
Pond somewhere, right?
Yeah, there's got to be a pond in the back or a swimming pool. Somebody in a little red dye.
Town of town, like my neighborhood, we have a couple retention ponds.
There you go.
I mean, we can do it over in Deptford. It doesn't make much sense, but so
no, we do it in Bucks, and I'm sure Scott Presler will come there. He might dye his hair red.
I'm sure the homeowner.
You know, it'll be an all red. It'll be a red out. Start thinking about what do we do fertile minds, thousands of fertile minds. Send me an email or on Twitter. What do we do when Bucks County turns red? You know the significance of it. Again, it's a breakthrough in the suburbs to say, no, they just don't have Philadelphia in the entire suburbs. They don't have it. It'll be a shock. Why is this happening in Bucks County? Presler is the secret sauce, but there's a ton of reasons.
Hey, Dom.
Yes.
Can I ask you a quick question? Because this is a fantastic question from Betsy. I'm wondering, I'm sure a lot of listeners are wondering this. She goes, I live over in South Jersey with the rally Saturday night at Leah Corey Center. You often talk about the safety on Temple's campus. Is it safe for me to come from South Jersey to the Leah Corey Center?
Okay. And I would say inside the bubble, they're doing a good job. But we did an event there with Maria Bartiromo and David L. Cohen, Dan.
How'd that go?
And the problem was that was pre-Larry Krasner.
Gotcha.
So I think, let's put it this way.
I will tip.
Yes.
No, go ahead. You first.
I think the key thing is, and we'll help you with this tomorrow's show. I'm writing myself a note. Even when we're down the shore, somebody will help with this. We got to get the parking lot that's closest for people. If you do that and you get out on Broad Street and you walk to it, and then walk back to your car, there'll be a ton of security. If you're parking in the neighborhood, I can't be on record then saying I think that's a good idea.
So we went to AEW during WrestleMania weekend, and we weren't smart enough, but if you pre-order, there is a Leah Corey's parking garage, and it fills up fast, but you can get tickets, pre-order parking tickets using certain apps and such. So do some research, look up Leah Corey's centers. On their website, they actually tell you how to do it, and you can get parking, prepay for some parking, and just park right there at the Leah Corey Center. Not even have to walk the streets.
That's a great idea. So we'll keep that one in mind. We'll say it again tomorrow. I don't want to be a wet blanket and say don't go, but that's the best solution, that you park there, get your parking spot. Leslie Fishapine, Dan, is probably
the queen of it.
Right
now. Queen of parking
spots. Queen of that in Wildwood. If you get your parking spot there, Dan, I bet it's within a block. There will be massive security there. You just go into the event, keep your head about you.
I would also say the way that Trump draws, it's going to be a bunch of Trump people on the streets. And
I'm not advising on the streets, though.
No, really? I'd park four blocks away and walk.
Well, I would, too, but I know.
The problem
is walking
back after, though.
Right. Somebody that's coming from South Jersey, Dan, and is apprehensive. I can't put myself in their shoes.
I don't know how.
Certain places I park and I go, oh, man, am I really going to do this? I can't. Yeah. Get the parking now. Get the parking. There's a whole bunch of lots right on Broad Street. Get the parking right now. All right, coming up, Dan goes to the woodshed. Big-time entrepreneur bringing back Horn and Hardicks. Can hardly wait. Can you say salmonella? Is that what you said, Dan? All right, that's straight ahead. And get in on the side question here. Big show today on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.